Here's what's coming up on today's show.
If you do that and you set aside contingencies for the different areas, even if you don't end up having to spend it, you're going to have a lot more enjoyable retirement because you're not going to be worrying all the time about, oh boy, if this comes up, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, hello and welcome into the Retirement Cafe. Glad to have you. Today, we're talking about the seven retirement expenses you can't afford to ignore. You know, retirement is supposed to be a great time in your life. You can spend more time with your family, your friends, pursuing interests and hobbies. But for many families who have reached their retirement goal, it's important to make sure your retirement expenses are not going overboard. So today, we're going to talk about the seven big expenses that you need to watch out for in retirement. So welcome in Dan and Brent. Great topic today. Why do you think it is important to discuss these retirement expenses?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things is just that retirement planning is really complicated. And so there's a lot of moving levers and decisions to make. And what we find a lot of times is that people don't think about some of the things that are on the horizon, or they're not planning for the unexpected, right?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is like you want to retire, right? You want to be able to retire. And so you're like, oh, well, we spend this much a month. We can do that.
Right.
You know, and it's not realizing, yeah, that's in a perfect month.
Exactly.
That's not all the other months.
Yeah. And so, we see this sometimes. It's like, well, I've got, you know, this much in savings. I've got this much for Social Security, and this is how much it costs me to live, so I can pull out, you know, a few percent out of my retirement and then Social Security, and it's just like that's never going to work over a long period of time. And so we want to make sure that we help you think about some things really that can derail your plan if you haven't thought through it.
Yeah, because I always think about, you know, how do you deal with while you're working when those things come up, right? Well, you know what a lot of people do? They end up taking loans, or they put it on a credit card. Like, I have to replace the roof or my furnace. And so that's why this stuff's good to talk about, to get you thinking about it ahead of time, because you don't have that income anymore.
Right.
You can't work overtime. I mean, you could conceivably go get a second job or another job, right?
Right.
But that's why these things.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on a fixed income, right, which is a lot of times what people are on in retirement, you can't go into debt to repay that because you're using all of that income, is what you're saying. And so it's not like there's extra that's going to be coming in. And so you just have to think these things through.
Great. So what is the first retirement expense that we can't afford to ignore?
Yeah, one of the big ones is medical and dental expenses.
Yeah, so according to CBS MarketWatch, the number one, I can't believe this when I read it.
Yeah.
The number one reason people over 65 file for bankruptcy is that they can't afford their medical or dental bills.
Jeez.
It's crazy.
That's
sad.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and so, this, I mean, this is obviously a big area that's not being accounted for, right?
Right.
And what do we know? We know we have things in place, Medicare and things like that. And a lot of people think, well, that's just going to take care of everything.
Right.
And we find that that's not the case.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of your dental bills are not going to be covered unless you have some other supplemental dental insurance, which most people don't. You know, some people get that through a work benefit, depending on the company they retired from. Most people don't have that. And that can get really, I mean, I've seen some of those like our clients that we have that have come in and said, hey, these implants cost $10,000 or $15,000. Right. And you're like, holy moly, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you think about the other thing that comes up, I think you mentioned on your notes here, long-term care. Like, you know, Medicare does not cover long-term care, or very limited long-term care, right?
Right.
So you can go through a whole bunch of money in a hurry for that.
Yeah. So if you're going into a nursing home for nursing care or assisted living, you know, a lot of people think that that's going to be covered, and it's not.
Right.
Right. And so it's important that you have that in your plan. And the other thing too to keep in mind on medical and dental is that a lot of the inflation right now is high in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But
right.
During more typical times, what we find is that inflation on medical and dental expenses is outpacing regular inflation by quite a bit. And so it's just important to know that just because you can afford your medical expenses right now doesn't mean that you're going to be able to do that in 20 years, even with your Medicare.
Right, right. And one thing that Brent and I really encourage people to think about, if you can, you know, up until you're 65 and on Medicare, you can have an HSA plan, health savings account, depending on your health plan at work or whether you buy it through the exchange. You have to make sure you're eligible for it, but it can be a really nice way to get some money socked away in a tax-advantaged account for down the road when you're in retirement, to be able to use that money as these bills come up. So keep that in mind. A lot of people don't fully understand HSAs, but it's something you should take a look into, if you know, see if you can use them, if it would work for you, and you know, maybe a way to get some other money there for down the road.
Yeah, it's not a big surprise that medical and dental expenses need to be accounted for in retirement, especially after hearing that that stat. So it's very interesting. What's the second expense we need to be aware of in retirement?
So this one, people would think maybe isn't an expense, but the death of a spouse or the premature death of a spouse can be really costly. And so, of course, you're going to have some end-of-life expenses. You know, the average funeral costs around $7,000 to $10,000. So that would be an unexpected cost. But there's a lot of other things that you need to consider when you look at this particular expense that people don't consider at all.
Yeah, it can be really difficult because, you know, number one, like, let's think about if you're in retirement. So generally speaking, when someone passes away, you get to keep one of the Social Security benefits, one or the other, right? So you lose income, which in essence, I mean, we're talking about expenses, but it's kind of an expense in a way because you've lost that. So now you don't have as much money to pay those expenses, right? And your tax rate changes.
Yeah, so a lot of people may or may not know, but when you're married filing jointly, the amount of income that you can get and be subject to a certain tax bracket is different than when you're single. So when you're single, you can't have as much income, or you'll be taxed at a significantly higher rate for the same level of income. And so that's a huge expense that if you're not thinking it through, could really, really cause some major problems. And so you need to have a plan for that.
Yeah, and really a good plan, stress test, things like this.
Exactly.
So, like, you know, people always say, oh, well, I don't need life insurance, I'm retired. Sometimes you do. Like, sometimes, you know, depending on if you have a pension and how the survivorship's structured, how your Social Security is structured, there's a lot of things, right?
Yeah, because it's really common to have a pension. Well, it's not common to have a pension, but it's common to have some type of a survivorship structure. So a lot of people don't have 100% of that pension passes through. It might be half, it might be 75%.
Yep.
So if you lose half of your pension and then you lose one of your Social Security benefits, you've taken a major hit on your income. So what Dan's saying is maybe there are situations where you need to continue to have life insurance on one spouse or the other to protect in that type of scenario.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. That's why this stuff can be a little bit challenging because every family's a little different.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of plans don't account for the loss of a spouse. So something to be thinking about there. All right, what is another expense that you can't afford to ignore?
Yeah, this is one that I think people think a little bit more of, but I think that it oftentimes leads to problems, which is portfolio investment losses and inflation, right?
Right. And so a lot of that comes down to really the composition of your portfolio, understanding risk when we're talking about the losses, because if you don't understand we've talked about this a lot and we're not going to get into the risk part of it as much, but if you don't understand the level of risk that you're taking and something major happens and you have a major downturn in your portfolio, emotions can take over a lot of times.
Right.
So it's really important to understand your ability, how long until you need the money, your willingness, like what your stomach can handle, and then how much need do you need to take to help you achieve your goals. And so that's a big part of it.
Yeah, and this is all in relation, the reason it's associated with expenses is because the inflation piece, right?
Yes.
So inflation exists always. I mean, sometimes it's lower, this year it's higher. The reality is that your money has to keep pace, right? And so oftentimes that means most people have to have some money in the market. And so we all know the old saying is, you know, basically buy low and sell high. Unfortunately, most people do the opposite because it's emotional, like Brent was saying. So if your goal is to have your money invested in a way that can beat inflation to support your withdrawals throughout retirement, and then all of a sudden something bad happens like a downturn in the market and you sell out, you might have, in essence, just killed your chance to beat inflation.
Right.
So that expense of inflation now won, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And on the flip side of it, you can't afford to necessarily be super conservative either. Like, I never want to see an investment loss, so you put your money all in the mattress. Well, that inflation expense...
It's just eroding your dollars, right? Yep. So if it costs 3% more to buy something the next year, then your dollar is not is worth 3% less.
Yeah.
And that just compounds over time. So it's really important to understand that. And, you know, what you can do about it, I mean, you need to understand all those risk factors, and then you need to have a plan that's gonna account for this, and it's gonna account for market volatility and rising costs and any other unexpected expenses that helps support your long-term goals.
Yeah, and it is hard. I mean, this is probably one of the hardest parts of retirement. I mean, it'd be great if we all had enough money where we wouldn't even have to invest it. You know, it's like, I got so much, I don't need a return. You know, Right. That's just not the case with most people. And that's why Brent and I always recommend, a little bit on a side note, you know, when you're doing retirement planning, try to find a certified financial planner, try to find somebody that works under a fiduciary standard, because you really want to have that connection with someone that really is, you know, working in your best interest, helping you avoid that big mistake and making sure that your investment plan is a really sound thing so that you don't have to worry about the inflation taking you out down the road. Because you don't want to be 90 and say, no, I have no money.
Right.
Because, you know, I didn't make good decisions early on.
Yeah, no one wants to be in that boat, which is why we're going through these retirement expenses. All right. Got a good list so far. What are some other expenses that are often ignored or maybe not even considered?
Dan alluded to it a little bit earlier, just some of the unexpected things. So like a major home repair, a lot of times, because that doesn't come up in your basic standard of living. So if somebody comes in and we ask them, well, what does it cost you to live? They're not putting in a certain amount in most cases for some major repair. Maybe they need a new roof. Right. Or they need some structural issues, doors, windows, you know, who knows what it could be, electrical, plumbing. I mean, there's all kinds of areas that this can happen in. Mm-hmm. And it's usually just like forgotten. And then when it happens, it's like, oh, you have to take out a loan to get it.
Yeah.
To get it paid for.
I think honestly, like when you start getting ready to retire, don't ask the question, do I have any upcoming major home repairs? Ask the question, what upcoming, you know, because it's a what.
Right.
I mean, because something is going to happen. I mean, what do they say on average? Like 2% of your home value is like a good number to use. So if you had a $300,000 home, you know, $6,000 a year, you should plan on spending towards whatever, right?
Right. So it's a good way to budget for it and at least say, hey, this is what's going to happen. Now, you might go several years without spending a dime or very little money.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You need a new furnace, you need a new roof, you need whatever it may be.
Yep.
And that can really, really mess up somebody's retirement plan.
Yep. So just always plan for it. You know, I think that 2% rule is good. And like, think about, okay, I'm just going to have that as part of my budget. There's nothing wrong with taking it and socking it away with the knowledge that, hey, I know I'm going to spend it.
Right.
It's already spent, right?
Yes.
We just don't know on what yet.
Well, the unexpected certainly doesn't stop when you retire. I suppose the next one isn't likely to stop either, right?
This is the one that we can all get caught up in, right?
Yeah. Children and grandchildren needing money.
That never happened.
Dad, you got 20 bucks? It's not 20 bucks
no,
anymore.
No, we wish.
Yeah. Yeah, so supporting your kids and grandkids can be really financially draining, right? Especially when you're no longer earning an income, right? And so when you're using your own investments to live off of, and then you're supporting someone else, it can just be a big, big problem.
Yeah, and we see it. I mean, we see people calling, and I'm telling you, most of the time, they feel they don't really want to take the money out, but they feel like they have to, you know?
Yeah, and they, I mean, we all want to help our kids, right, in some capacity, but sometimes helping them is not helping them, right?
Well that's true.
That's a different conversation, but, I mean, there's all kinds of different things that can come up, whether it's college, you know, for your children or grandchildren, or a lot of times helping them with, like, a down payment on a new home or something like that. There's all kinds of things that can come up.
Yeah, it's funny, like, when Brent and I do planning, we have this conversation a lot of times early on, say, hey, what are the things you might want to do? And we'll bring up things like helping grandkids with college, yeah, you know, I really would. Okay, let's put that in, right?
Right.
How does your plan, you know, we're talking about stress testing. How does your plan work if we have that stuff in? Because let me tell you, if you do it that way, and then you're giving that money to children, grandchildren, you feel a whole lot better.
Yeah.
You're like, that's in my plan. It's right. Good. I'm happy. But if you don't, you know how you're feeling.
Yeah. Well, because then you're feeling a lot of doubt.
Like, and
stress. Is this going to derail my plan? Is this going to cause me to run out of money? And then there's another unexpected consequence a lot of times with this is just taxes,
yeah.
Right? So
right.
if you weren't planning on taking a bunch of money out in a particular year and all of a sudden you do, you're running up a big tax bill on top of it in a lot of cases. So it's really important to understand the consequences of doing that, whether it's tax consequences or sustainability consequences. It's important to know. And a lot of families help their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good one for sure. All right, we have a couple more to go. What's next on our list?
Yeah, travel cost, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Travel continues to get more expensive in a lot of ways, you know, and
especially right now.
Oh man.
Oh my gosh, airfare is crazy.
Airfare is crazy. Restaurants, you know. It's interesting because as the economy, so just not to get too far off track, but like through COVID, the economy kind of switched a little more towards goods because people were stuck home, so they're ordering lots of stuff. But before that, we had been slowly transitioning more and more to things like services, like travel and eating out and all this kind of thing, right? Well, guess what? It's coming back that right. way. And so now we're seeing inflation in that area, right? So it's gotten really expensive. And you got to think it through as to what you want your travel plan to look like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you need to be considering where you're going. You know, are you seeing loved ones? Maybe you are. Maybe they have a somewhere in the basement you can stay. I don't
yeah.
know. You know, like
yeah.
maybe there's no housing costs that go with that. But if there's not, you really need to consider, is this similar to where I live, the expenses, right? So like getting there is one thing. But if you do go out to dinner, I mean, we know if we... around here it's not as expensive as in a lot of other parts of the country. So if you're traveling to, you know, California or yeah. what, you may be paying a lot more money.
Yeah.
And that may, and if you're there for an extended period of time, maybe your living expenses are way out of whack if that's the case.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, when you start talking to people about how much they want to allocate towards travel, a very common answer is like, oh, I think 10 grand.
Yeah.
And which is fine. I mean, it's better than not having a starting point. But you really need to start calculating, like get online, like, hey, I know one of the things I'd like to do every year is go to Florida or whatever. What are my flights going to be?
Right.
What are hotels or VRBOs going to be? You know, like start doing some real research because we know that often when we throw a number out there, it's usually pretty far off, right?
I mean, well, $10,000, depending on where you're staying in Florida right now, that could be 1 month's rent.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, easily. So... Is that an appropriate number? And then just know, like, a lot of people probably aren't going to do that forever.
Right, right.
All right, so how long does that happen? And I think what we're getting at is just it's really important to have a budget around these things and understand, you know, what you can support in this expense area and making sure you're staying within it and you have a good long-term travel.
Yeah, and one thing I want to mention on a side note is be really careful about like these ideas of, I would call them kind of bigger travel ideas. Like some, we've seen people that have said, hey, I'm going to be a full-time RVer for a couple of years and with the idea of selling their house and like living out of the RV and going all over and for whatever reason, you know, and that can be a big commitment and you can tie up some major funds doing that mm-hmm. that can, you know, really have an impact on your plan. Now, if you're able to do it like you plan, it probably works fine. But sometimes people find after they do that for a little bit, that's not really what they thought it was.
Right.
And so you just have to be aware of that, you know, put a lot of thought into travel and, yeah. and how, what might be valuable.
Well, and that's the same thing with even a second home. Like we find a yep. lot of people that think they want a second home, don't realize how expensive that's going to be
yep.
maybe, or then decide, you know, that they don't want to spend 6 months away from the rest of their family.
Yeah.
And so... A lot of times it's better just to try those things. Like, hey, go wherever you want to go and rent for 1 year.
Yeah.
And then if you're in love with it, then go ahead and buy that place if you can afford it.
Yeah. The thing with real estate, whether you're like selling it to be a full-timer or buying the second home, whatever it might be, real estate, when you're not committed for a long period of time, the transaction cost can be very punitive, right?
Yeah.
So like you got to remember... Hey, you know, buying and selling, anybody that's ever moved very much will tell you, man, it costs a lot of money, right?
It sure does.
And so that's another thing you have to really think about as an added expense.
Well, traveling does seem to be a goal for the vast majority of retirees, so having a plan and a budget makes a lot of sense. All right, what is the last expense that is sometimes ignored or forgotten?
Well, this one, I don't know that this one's so much around here, but I think it does apply to a lot of people. It's just transportation costs in general, mm-hmm. you know? So the average American spends $8,000 a year on owning a car and maintaining that car, right? And that it varies pretty significantly depending on where you live, but that's a pretty big expense.
Yep.
But what happens when you can't do that anymore,
yeah.
right? There's all kinds of different things. So whether you need to start using public transportation, which really isn't available here. I mean, there's a little bit of it,
yeah.
but not much.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether you have to take cabs, you have to get family members to take you, what does that all look like? I mean, I think it's a big area that can impact a lot of different families.
Yeah, it really, I mean, and you think about a lot of people end up having to, like, go to, like, a retirement community because they just can't maybe make that work.
Right.
Right. So it's something you really need to consider, and I agree with Brent. There's a lot of people that can't drive anymore.
Right.
You still need to go places.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Well, great information today, guys, as always. Let's wrap things up by summarizing some of the important areas we discussed today.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing to understand is that retirement planning, it's got a lot of moving parts, and everybody's retirement's going to look a little different. So the big thing is, number one, is we think it makes a lot of sense to think things through before you retire. Like, truly think about the healthcare costs. Think about, you know, the different areas we've talked about, like travel and what kind of conditions my home in, or maybe I'm going to sell my home and live in an apartment, so I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. But thinking it through, because if you do that and you set aside contingencies for the different areas, even if you don't end up having to spend it, you're going to have a lot more enjoyable retirement, because you're not going to be worrying all the time about, oh boy, if this comes up, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right. Or my niece needs some help, or my granddaughter needs some help with some school, and I just don't know if I can do it, even though I really want to. So it's good. If you plan ahead, you can avoid those things. And if you work with a CFP, most of us that are in this profession are going to work with you to make sure you don't miss that stuff.
Right.
Because the thing is, people get so caught up, you know, you think about retirement planning, everybody makes it so much about their investments, and investments are super important. But this is the stuff that really is going to make a difference, thinking through things like expenses, you know, and how your money's invested compared to what you want your retirement plan to look like. And we talked about that today with inflation. So just keep that in mind and really take your time picking out the right person to work with and think through this stuff so you have a great retirement.
Great stuff as always, guys. Again, 7 retirement expenses that you need to pay attention to. Can't afford to ignore them. Hopefully you'll jot a few of these down, but feel free to listen to this episode back again or any of our podcasts at averywealth.com. And also, if you have questions to follow up with Dan and Brent over at Avery Wealth, you can call them at 517-783-1695. Guys, thanks for the time as always. Enjoyed it. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisor registered with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. Registration as an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training, and the content of this communication has not been approved or verified by the SEC or by any state securities authority. The information contained in this podcast is intended to provide general information about Avery Wealth and its services. It is not intended to offer investment advice. Investment advice will only be given after a client engages our services by executing the appropriate investment services agreement. Information regarding investment products and services are provided solely to read about our investment philosophy and our strategy. You should not rely on any information provided on our website in making investment decisions. Market data, articles, and other content in this podcast are based on generally available information and are believed to be reliable. Avery Wealth does not guarantee the accuracy of the information contained in this podcast. Avery Wealth will provide all prospective clients with a copy of our current form ADV Part 2A disclosure brochure prior to commencing an advisory relationship. However, at any time, you can view our current form ADV Part 2A at advisorinfo.sec.gov. In addition, you can contact us to request a hard copy.